got the opportunity to play with and learn from so many guys. I learned how to be egoless from Nick Chubb. I learned to always smile like Christian Kirksey. I learned to chief slam from David Njoku. I learned how to be fiery and competitive from Baker.
A Texas court has scheduled the trial date for Brendan Sorsby's lawsuit against the NCAA for early February of 2027.
Fox Sports update on the Right Choice KPRL brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, more than 1,800 FFA members and 250 chaperones will travel to Washington, D.C. this summer for the 2026 Washington Leadership Conference, one of the FFA's premier leadership development events. The conference began June 2nd and runs through July 10th in sessions designed to help students develop leadership skills while exploring the nation's capital. Participants will learn principles like exploration, encouragement, advocacy, and service while creating a living to serve plan they can use in their own communities. And China's renewed demand for U.S. soybeans is providing optimism for America's farmers as officials expect a follow-through on a purchasing commitment tied to the 2026 crop. Deputy Ag Secretary Stephen Vaden says China has already begun placing orders for soybeans currently being planted. China pledged to purchase 25 million metric tons of soybeans from the 2026 U.S. harvest under an agreement with the Trump administration last fall. Well, the future of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement is drawing attention from ag groups across North America as the six-year review approaches. Nearly 160 groups representing the U.S., Canadian, and Mexican food and agriculture sectors sent a joint letter to trade officials urging them to renew and strengthen the agreement. The group noted that USMCA has made North America one of the most food-secure regions in the world since taking effect in July of 2020.
Activate your crop's defenses with Orbix from Helena. Orbix is a next-generation foliar nutritional that produces stronger, more productive crops by mitigating stress. It improves plant vitality with select plant extracts, high-analysis NPK and micronutrients enhanced with the efficiency of ENC formulation technology. Unleash yield potential in your crops this season with Orbix. Contact your Helena representative or authorized dealer for more information. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Every summer, smart cattle buyers turn to Superior Livestock for volume, quality, and selection. June 16th and 17th, Superior's Corn Belt Classic video auction heads to South Sioux City, Nebraska. More than 70,000 head of calves, yearlings, and breadstock will sell over two big days. See every lot in high-quality video and bid online from anywhere. Register today at SuperiorLivestock.com. Superior Livestock has been a leader in livestock marketing for nearly 40 years. Don't miss the Corn Belt Classic, June 16th and 17th.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are reversing course from earlier gains as a market rotation out of chip stocks resumes as the AI trade unwinds amid growing concerns that persistent inflation could lead the Fed to raise interest rates this year. The declines come ahead of Wednesday's Consumer Price Index report, giving investors clues over how policymakers may react at its next meeting in June. The worst performers in the S&P 500 today include optical networking stocks Coherent and Lumentum. Oil prices are easing with West Texas Intermediate crude at around $87 a barrel. And shares of J.M. Smucker are surging 9% after delivering a better-than-expected earnings report. However, sales struggled for its Hostess brands, which Smucker acquired in 2023 through a $5 billion deal. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
You're probably listening to this in your car, so let me ask you, Would you drive without insurance? Of course not. So why is your retirement portfolio unprotected? Gold is portfolio insurance. It helps de-risk your savings when markets get unpredictable. Noble Gold Investments has helped thousands of Americans do exactly that, with no high-pressure sales and thousands of five-star reviews. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult with your tax or financial professional before making any investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
What does a symphony orchestra musician, a good car mechanic, and a maker of fine sauces have in common? Plenty, if they're all the same fellow. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Not too long ago on this show, I was critical of the news media, particularly the TV news programs, plus a few talk shows, for what I called an anti-business attitude. In fact, while admitting I couldn't claim to have seen all the shows, I said I couldn't recall ever seeing any advocates of free enterprise holding forth on TV. Well, now I can. I was watching CBS News, and if you were too, you saw a story about one of our fellow citizens who hadn't done any of the things for which a person usually winds up in the headlines. A goodly portion of the evening news was devoted to this 45-year-old man, father of four, son of an immigrant father. None of that is what you might call earth-shaking or even newsworthy. There isn't a headline in the fact that he was a high school dropout or even that he served in the Army. Too many Americans have done both. But to its credit, CBS News did a heartwarming story about this resident of one of our eastern cities. First of all, he didn't settle for being a dropout. He took advantage of the educational opportunities the military offered and wound up with a college degree. He and his brother have an auto repair shop, and they're the repairmen. He also has a talent in the kitchen, which he's used to good advantage. In the evenings, he cooks sauces for spaghetti, shrimp, and so forth. His family helps, and they package and sell the product to markets and other outlets. There are, however, some evenings when he isn't in the kitchen. He plays in the city's Philharmonic Orchestra, and you can't do that without putting in a fair share of time at rehearsal. Now, I hope I haven't given the impression that this American citizen is just a terribly energetic, ambitious fellow, moonlighting and driving himself round the clock to keep up with the Joneses and the cost of living. No, the subject of the CBS News special places a great importance on living. He enjoys what he's doing. Some way he's found time to develop an appreciation of fine wine, join a wine tasting society, and accumulate knowledge to match his appreciation. A number of people aspiring to the same appreciation call on our citizen for help in acquiring the knowledge to go with it. Before that CBS News special feature ended, this American citizen told the rest of us how much opportunity there is in this land, in this way of life we call America. And he made it very clear he wasn't just touting the Babbitt line of how to make a buck. He was talking about living, and he made us realize he truly enjoyed his life and everything he was doing. And he made us realize the same joy is available to anyone who will take advantage of being an American. The last we saw of him, he was putting the finishing touches on a fender in the auto repair shop. Thank you, CBS News. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday. It's 12:30. The bear is in the building. It's time for Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products that protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore our current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. I'm getting a little feedback here. Our guest today, we have great guests today. From 12:30 to 1 p.m., I have my colleagues, Erica Scott and Jacob Rothman in the Central Coast Value Network. We're going to talk about the clear path to building a business worth keeping or selling, how business owners can prepare for growth and transition, and we're going to talk a little bit about our upcoming workshops, Clear Path Workshops, in June 17th in Atascadero and June 19th in Arroyo Grande. Erica and Jake, welcome back to Protecting What Matters.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, glad to have you here. And at 1 o'clock, I've got Megan Barth, who's the executive director, executive editor at the California Globe. She has a new article up today on the goofy voting patterns that are happening in Los Angeles County. We're going to talk about voter fraud and counting incompetence in California, the current state of play in the statewide elections. Well, maybe we're at 50% on one, then we lost another one. What it looks like in LA, but Megan will bring us up to date. And then tech theft in Newport Beach, plus regional and national politics. You can call in or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. Before we get started, I want to thank Danelle Nichols and Shelley Gill for inviting the bear to speak at the Paso Robles Republican Women's Federated dinner last night at the Bellacera. They needed a rodeo clown. I was on a panel with Stacey Korsgaden, and unfortunately she didn't make the top two, but my heart goes out to her. She really worked hard to get there for the insurance commissioner race, and she talked about what what it was like, and she'll be back on the show in the not too distant future to talk about we have to make a choice between two evils on the insurance commissioner vote. And so she'll come in and fill us in on that. And then Dave Belmont, who's the sponsor of this show with Adler Belmont Group, and he and Stacy talked about the fire insurance issues, and I really appreciate the Paso Robles Republican Women's Federated. From now on, I'm just going to call them PARUF, okay? The PARUFs out there. They were a great group. All right. We're talking this half hour with again, Erica and Jake, my colleagues in the Central Coast Value Network, Erica Scott and Jake Rothman. As you might have heard on KPRL, we're holding two seminars later this month on the topics of succession, exit planning, and things that you can do to maximize the value of your business prior to sale or passing it on to heirs. Examples, you like your children or key employees. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today, and then we'll give you a preview of what we'll be talking about in these meetings, because you definitely want to make it if you're a business owner in the North or South County here. So Jake, I'm going to give you the first shot. I usually give Erica the first shot. Give us a quick reintroduction of yourself. You've been on the show a number of times, but tell us a little bit about your wealth management firm.
Yeah, my wealth management firm is Rothman Investment Management in Atascadero. And we provide value to our clients in three broad ways. Financial planning that helps create a roadmap for their future, aligning their financial resources with their hopes, dreams, and values. Proactive tax planning that's about minimizing their tax leakage over a lifetime, not just next year or two. And then thoughtful investment management that incorporates the latest findings from academic research.
Mm-hmm. And Erica, tell us about your consultancy.
Hi, my name is Erica Scott, and I have a company called Book a COO. That's a chief operating officer, so operation and administrative services to really help that business leader to create clarity within their organization. I have a framework called Strategic Plan Now that helps business owners set and achieve goals faster through roles and responsibilities and clarity about where they're headed. I help with facilitation, culture building, and anything to do with operations and efficiency.
All right. And you are making us efficient. I would tell you that. All right. So before we get started, I want to, you know, I want to set the table here. So we're talking about business exit readiness, okay? And really, and we're going to talk about this as well. You know, this is not something you do last minute, okay? You need to have probably at least a five-year horizon, in my opinion, to really start thinking about this. Now, 50% of businesses are currently owned by boomers today, but 58% of business owners have no transition plan whatsoever and lack formal succession plans. And I think one of the things that we've discovered in our individual practices and then working jointly is how business owners, you know, they're really good at working, what is it, in their business, but not on their business. And so this is really important, whether you want to keep your business and make it more profitable, more efficient, or whether you want to bring your kids along and have them succeed you, or whether you just want to sell and get out of Dodge. Okay, you really need to have a plan, and that's what we're trying to help people do today. Again, as my one of my commercials says, 98% of business was it 72% of business owners expect to sell their business and make that their retirement funding, but only 2% know what their business is really worth. So again, a huge disconnect out there. So let's start a little bit about where we're going. What is the starting point of all of this? So, you know, Erica, when you go in and talk to people about, you know, okay, we need to get you organized, at least just to be more efficient or be more profitable or whatever, what's the first step that you recommend?
I'll typically do an intake, or like we've created a readiness quiz for the Central Coast Valley Network. And that readiness or that intake really gets a snapshot of where the business owner is, the organization maturity, and what they're hoping to achieve, whether that is to keep and grow the business or to eventually sell it. So really understanding, getting those intake forms and assessment and truly understanding is that first piece. Okay. And then from there, having a true valuation done so that you understand the value and it's not just a guess, that it's really based on inputs. The process that they go through with you on that valuation is tremendously helpful to ensure that we're working off of an accurate set of information.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think business owners are so resistant to this kind of investigation into their own business? I mean, maybe I'm a navel gazer, but I've always been really fairly introspective about my business and trying to always figure out how I can, you know, make the clock tick better, you know, be more on time or whatever it is. I mean, do you find that business owners in general are resistant to this kind of review of what they're doing?
I think it really takes a growth mindset and a strong leader to see and be open to feedback. Mm-hmm. Often looking in the mirror can be hard. And as you said, they're working in the business so much, to come out and take that balcony view can be really challenging. But it's in that balcony view where you can pull in key advisors to help you make those right decisions so you don't have to go down the wrong roads. So that's why this group coming together, we really saw the value in breaking down those walls between what are your personal and business financial goals? How does that play into building that asset, that business? And you have to know the true value and how you're making change over time in that value.
Right. And again, I think there was just an email that came out from the Exit Planning Institute about, and there's a race car video in there, but the headline on this email was driving value starts with measuring performance, right?
Right.
And unless you know where you're starting, where the journey is starting, you really don't know where you're going.
Right. And having a clear plan. So knowing, having the accurate information, you know, I say even with AI, everything, it's junk in, junk out. Mm-hmm. So if you're starting with a bad set of data, then you're not going to be able to really create and change and create that value that you want. So having the right information to create a clear plan that you can execute against will give you more opportunities to create that enterprise value and efficiency, save time, and ultimately increase the value of your business.
Right, because the valuation really gives you a picture of not only what the business is potentially worth to a willing buyer, right, and a willing seller, but it also gives you key performance indicators, right, that stack you up against the competition, and they can be really instructive in improving. Do you have would you have an example of, you know, how, you know, in your work that where a KPI has been really instrumental in helping a business owner make a big change, a big decision?
Yeah,
I know that was a question we haven't discussed.
Yeah.
But
so I don't want to divulge client information, but I would say a lot of times what I'll do is look at what the key performance indicators are, and how do we narrow it down besides like revenue? What is one driver that might be the thing that impacts all of these different areas? And so whether that's in a medical practice, doctor days. So how many days is the doctor in the practice able to generate revenue? If you don't hit a number of doctor days and average revenue on those days, then you might not be able to hit that goal. I worked once with a bowling alley, and we did lane utilization. And we realized that impacted all revenue areas.
Right.
And so rather than looking at, you know, everybody has their own key performance indicators, then we looked at that one specific. So once you really understand the business and industry benchmarks, then you see what are some of those unique performance indicators that can really help drive that change.
And then How is this used over time to help profitability? I mean, is really what you're looking to do is increase your margins, right?
Right. But having clear processes documented, not having over dependence on key employees or having documented processes so that others can do those jobs, or even owner dependence. And those are all factors that come out of that biz equity report and the valuation that then we can incorporate into the assessments that I do and the assessments that Jake does for the finances. And by having all those things come together, we can create a better plan for driving and changing and that value over time.
Okay. And then Jake, how does this type of information provide your clients with the actionable intelligence they need to be able to start doing their financial planning? Because I find that a lot of business owners, I mean, I did this, you know, everything that all my profit went back in, not all my profit, but a lot of my profit went back in to keep building the business. And at some point, you know, when you get to a certain age, you got to start planning for the future, right?
Right. So for most business owners, their business is both their source of income and their largest asset.
Mm-hmm.
And so for business owners thinking about retiring, and it's always best to think early, there are really two ways that you can do this. One would be start with the desired lifestyle and figure out what it's going to cost. And then you can back solve to here's what I need to sell my business for when taking all of my other financial resources into account. And now we can work toward, okay, so the business needs to grow to a certain level to attain that valuation so that you can achieve this. The other would be I can just, and this is more for someone who's closer to wanting to step out, here's what I've got, what can I do with it? And so then we can work with, okay, what's a realistic, realizable value for your business when you sell it, and then what does that afford you in terms of lifestyle?
So, and talk a little bit about, I mean, we get the question all the time is like, okay, what are the options for selling at some point? You know, you either got somebody's, you know, you got an angel walking in and says, I want to buy your business, or, but there's other methods too, right?
There are several, right. So one common one would be a family succession plan. And that can be great because you get to see your kids doing what you did. Sometimes generation two, generation three can grow a business beyond what the founder was able to achieve or even envision. There's a lot of positives to that. There's some tax efficiency if you plan for that appropriately. The drawback is if the offspring taking over the business have no qualifications other than the right surname, then there could be a lot of value destroyed. You know, the business could be destroyed and the family wealth could be destroyed. So So that's something to take into account. But other options, management buyout can be a great one because it rewards the people who help you build your business and care so much about it, and it allows them to become owners. Another would be a financial buyer, so someone else who just wants to have a business like yours.
M&A, basically.
Yeah. Or a strategic buyer, which would be an adjacent type as a competitor or supplier or customer that might buy you at a premium because they see potential for synergies. And you have to be aware, if you're selling to a synergistic buyer, you're probably going to see your people laid off, at least some of them, because that's part of the synergies. And then one other option that's really interesting is employee stock ownership plans.
Yeah, explain ESOPs. I mean, I think that's, I mean, they've been around for a long time, but they're, you know, people don't really know what they are. So dig a little deeper on that.
Yeah, an ESOP is basically like a qualified retirement plan and a management levered buyout rolled into one. And so the beautiful thing is that the owner can control what happens to the company and turn it over to existing employees, and it can be 30%, it can be 100%, you know, whatever makes sense. There's also a Section 1042 tax deferral. So if you do it right and you structure it right, the whole transaction can be done deferring any taxes. Mm-hmm. So instead of paying maybe 25 to 30% in taxes when you sell, you pay zero, and you can defer those for the rest of your life, and then your kids can get a step up in basis and they don't pay either. There's a lot of boxes that have to be checked, but it is very doable. And then the owner has to be willing, usually, to do seller financing for part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you just walk away with a pile of money on day one.
And one of the things that we're doing here, I know that, you know, I think is really important to... Oh, and by the way, I want to go back to something you mentioned. I was going to mention it before.
Yeah.
But I actually, there was a very successful 100-year-old property casualty insurance agency in Denver that I used to work with when I lived in Colorado. Mm-hmm. I lived in Colorado, but I worked with them when I was in California. And it was a family owned. It was already on the third generation, the grandparents, the father. And what the father did was he actually hired an attorney who created a 5 to 10 year plan for the kids to take over this agency. And one of the rules was that if the kids wanted to come into the agency, they had to work somewhere else for at least 5 years. So that they really didn't have that entitlement sense that so many kids have who think, hey, this is my business, you know, turn it over to me. So
that's a great idea.
That is a great idea. So, Erica, talk a little bit about how we're expanding the network, the value network, because, we do what we do, but there's a whole lot of allied professionals and other people who can be helpful in this process. So who are we, without naming names at this point, because we're still waiting for some answers, what types of allied professionals are we bringing into the Central Coast Value Network?
Well, the core of the three of us are really that financial, the risk mitigation and understanding value, and then how do we create that transformation and have a strategic plan to carry it out and have accountability. That's the core three of us. But then we're inviting other people into, say, we say, like the board of directors or the bench of strength for the business owners, knowing that you know, you might have a CPA that you work with, a business attorney, your bookkeeper, these other entities that help support the overall business owner. And so we can invite them into our group so that we can support that business owner holistically. They don't have to know who to go to when, and we're all aware, and it saves them time and energy and effort, so that we're all a coordinated effort. And if they need a recommendation in those areas, we have those partnerships that we developed.
Well, I know how difficult it is from talking to business owners to find good tax help in this county. And I mean, I only play an attorney on the radio, so it's really hard for me to do a lot of stuff. Folks, you can learn more about the Central Coast Value Network by going to myvaluenetwork.com. Click on view events, and you can see these events and register for them. And if you hold off for a minute after the break, we're going to give you some promo codes that you can use to maybe sweeten the pot. So stand by.
Bye. I'm not usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Serving San Luis Obispo County for your weed abatement needs, your best bet is Ken Silva. From half acre to 25 acres, integrity, hard work, and quality service. Mowing accomplished with tractor and flail mower, which is cost effective and more efficient. Clean it and cut it with Ken Silva. Free estimates. Call or text Ken Silva, 805-459-6011.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Erica Scott and Jake Rothman, my two colleagues, two of my three colleagues in the Central Coast Value Network. You can learn more about what we're doing by going to myvaluenetwork.com. You don't have to put the www, right? You just put myvaluenetwork.com and it'll work, right?
Yeah.
You're the maven. You're the maven. I think I tried it. So anyway, and also, by the way, Erica was just told me there are no promo codes because why, Erica?
We are offering a buy one, get one code or not code, but offer for the first 10 registrants at each of the locations. So we have a date on the 17th in Atascadero and on the 19th in Oro Grande. And the first 10 registrants at either of those is going to get a buy one, get one off. And the tickets are $25. So that means two people for $25. And ticket prices go up at the door. If you are a referring partner and interested in attending, email us at centralcoastvaluenetwork@gmail.com or fill out the referring partner questionnaire at the bottom of that the webpage at myvaluenetwork.com.
Yes, and if you are interested in becoming a referral partner, we'd really love to talk to you. In fact, I talked to a young man today who's been in a he's basically what we used to call a headhunter. Now he calls himself a talent agent for businesses. And he also does counseling, you know, to help people, you know, up their game for getting interviewed for jobs. So he does the fit placement, and then he's really very bright young man. We're going to get him on the radio to talk about what he does, and he'll be a great add-on to the Central Coast Value Network. By the way, if anybody has any questions, you can call in at 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. Let's just talk about, we have a few minutes left. You know, let's start with Jake. What common mistakes do you find that people make in their businesses that really hold them back?
I think there's a couple of things. One is buying for a tax deduction that may not necessarily be needed. And then they take the expense in year one. And then after that, any income produced by that asset is fully taxable. There's no depreciation shield left. So sometimes that's a smart strategy, but I think people tend to be too short-sighted in trying to pay zero tax this year without any idea of what the consequences are over the longer term. And then
let me just back up for a minute. So you're really talking about all this, I guess, accelerated depreciation businesses can take when they buy a piece of equipment. It's great until the second year.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and sometimes it makes sense to just try to wipe out your taxes for a year, but not always. And I think people don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I think is just waiting too long to figure out what to do next. Waiting too long to make a plan so that they're just bogged down in the day-to-day and maybe not focused on the right things to maximize their value or to know when it's time to move on.
Yeah. What about you, Erica? What are your thoughts?
I completely agree with the lack of a plan, but it's also communicating and having transparency in that plan. So when people don't know what they're responsible for or how they fit into the bigger picture, so it's taking not just taking that plan, but also how do you communicate it and live it out so that you're actually making progress. And the accountability is huge.
Right. I think, and again, I'm not a CPA, but the one thing that I see, the two things that I see that are the biggest problems are, number one, people, especially, they start a business and then, again, they work in their business and they don't look at the big picture. I'm just flummoxed that people are not using corporations more or LLCs more, pass-through entities, that they basically just leave, they stay in their sole proprietorship mode. And it really becomes a problem when you're trying to do a business valuation, because it's hard to identify all that seller's discretionary earnings that goes into the value of the business, and it's just really hard to flesh that information out of a sole proprietor's situation. And then the other thing, and again, I know it costs $800 a year for the wonderful California Franchise Tax Board, and I know you got to do another tax return, right? But still, again, if you're really trying to spruce up your business, and get the plan there, especially if you're going to pass it on to your kids or whatever, you need to have a good corporate structure. And again, I'm not a CPA, but I just know from the business valuation perspective, it becomes an issue. And then the other thing, again, too, is poor accounting. Mm-hmm. It's hard to figure out your valuation if we don't know where the money is coming and going and flowing and doing all that kind of stuff. What kind of tips do you have on those two items, Erica, when it comes to the accounting, setting up a good accounting system, let's say?
I think making sure that you either have somebody on staff or you're hiring those key vendors and people to support you. So it goes back to that cohesive board of directors, so to speak. And sometimes it's not even knowing the opportunity. And that's where the workshops that we're doing mm-hmm. are helping to highlight the importance of how all these things work together mm-hmm. and how we each can, our own expertise, we can bring together these opportunities for business owners that they might not know were available to them.
Right, right. The other thing that I'm finding, of course, is that, again, the succession planning is not in place. I mean, there are so many... businesses, what's the statistic here? I've got these in front of me here. 41%, only 22% of companies have key person insurance. Okay. Which, and again, the owner is a key person,
right?
I'm doing about two or three of these right now. It's like, you got to have some key person. Cause if something happens to the owner, who's the major domo in most cases in the company, there's going to be a loss to that company. And a lot of times it's a family business. They also, most don't have a proper, what's called a buy-sell agreement or a succession agreement that's funded with life insurance to be right. able to, because again, like as I've mentioned on many shows, if you've got two business owners or more, if one of them dies, you don't want to be partners with the heirs of the deceased.
Right.
And you also, by the way, need a business valuation because first of all, the insurance companies now always ask, how did you come up with this value in your buy-sell agreement? And at least, if you say, I did a business valuation, you're good. And then, of course, you need to have the right kind of succession planning documents. There's different types of buy-sell agreements and different ways to fund it and set them up and all those types of things. I know these are very mundane things nobody wants to talk about.
Right. It's that clarity that'll get you where you want to go.
Clarity is a rarity. So come to one of our seminars. Jake and Erica, thanks so much for taking the time to come in and talking to the listeners. And hopefully we'll see some of them at our meetings later this month. All right. Go to the Central Coast Value, mycentralcoastvaluenetwork.com. And we'll be back on the other side of the break with Megan Barth of the California Globe.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.